نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, here in Mauritius, tonight ushers in the month of Rajab. What does the Quran Kareem tell us about the month of Rajab? What does the Ahadith Mubarakah inform us? What was the practice of our pious predecessors? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of the Islamic lunar calendar in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 36. Our calendar is old as time itself. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah ithna ashara shahra fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard minha arbaatun hurum. The day Almighty Allah Jalla Wala created the entire universe, Almighty Allah prescribed, ordained and decreed there will be 12 lunar months. From these 12 lunar months, minha arbaatun hurum, 4 are sacred months. Today we have some people, Allah forbid, they want to undermine the importance and significance of hadith. So if you ask them, Quran says, minha arbaatun hurum, the 4 sacred months. So which are the 4 sacred months? You will not find the answer in the Quran Sharif. Hence we go to Bukhari Sharif, we find the answer there. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Thalasun mutawaliyat, 3 are consecutive months, Zulqa'dah wa Zulhijjah wa Muharram and the month of Rajab. So these are the 4 sacred months. When these months would start in the days of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic days as well, then there was an automatic ceasefire and there was no combat, there was no war, no battle. So it shows from time immemorial that this was the practice. Secondly, in Mishkat Sharif is mentioned, when the month of Rajab would start, then Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the following dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. So let us read the dua once inshallah. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. You know you are businessmen, you look forward to your busy season. The farmer looks forward to his crops and harvest. Maximum amount of benefit and profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, in minimum time. So the true Muslim, he looks forward to the month of Ramadan because he will reap the maximum and optimum reward from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. When you study our Salaf Salih, our pious predecessors, 6 months before Ramadan, they used to already cry and beg Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, let us reach the month of Ramadan. So this is what they used to do. If you open Lataiful Ma'arif by Ibn Rajab al-Hambali rahimahullah and you study the month of Rajab, Sha'ban and so forth, you will find Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah and them, they used to keep 3 months fast. It's not sunnah, but this is what they would do. Remember, they used to fast the whole month of Rajab, they used to fast the whole month of Sha'ban, and obviously Ramadan fast is mandatory, compulsory. So that is what they would do, because in preparation of Ramadan Mubarak. Tonight here in Mauritius is the first night. See the richness, the glory, the beauty of the Arabic language. So I want all of you to repeat after me and make this part of your routine. Whenever the Islamic lunar month starts, then you must read this dua. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. So Allah, read after me, Allahu Akbar. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Three words. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Simple. So my brothers, remember, this is the richness, the beauty, the glory of the Arabic language. The first three nights, you call the crescent Hilal. And when it reaches the 14th night, then you call it Laylatul Badr, Chodwi Raki Chant, the full moon shining in its beauty and glory. And other days in between, you call it Qamar, Surah 54 in the Noble Quran, Surah Qamar. Why Qamar? Gambling is called Qimar. So Qamar, that increase and decrease, the waxing and waning of the moon, of the Hilal. So you see, in gambling, same thing happens. Majority of the people lose their money and one, two people might win. So I'm just showing you, obviously gambling is haram. So to show you the beauty of the Arabic language. So therefore, on the first night we say, Allahu Akbar. There are many other du'as, but this is a simple du'a. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Ya Allah, keep us in khayr and goodness. Wa rushdin, and keep us with righteousness. So these are the du'as we should try and read, inshaAllah. Let's come to our topic, my brothers, sisters, children. Remember that tonight I'll discuss 10 different topics. What are the 10 different topics? That in today's world, you must remember we are facing one of the biggest challenges. And that is the challenges of the Shias. They are rife and rampant in all parts of the world. If you look at the capitals in the world, Iran is theirs already. Look at the Arab capitals. You look at Syria, the Alawi regime are there of Bashar Assad. You look at Lebanon, Hezbollah is there. You look at Iraq, you must remember the Shias are there predominantly. And if you look at Yemen, that is what they want to do, to take over Yemen. So already 3-4 capitals in the heart of the Arab world is under their control. So I want to take you from the beginning. And I hope all of you, inshallah, Mufti Huzaifa, mashallah, Hafizahullah, is recording all this. So you should try and get the link from Mufti Huzaifa and keep it and replay it so that it remains fresh in your mind and all the references will remain with you. Let's start with Quran Sharif. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah say there are 114 surahs in the Noble Quran. We say there are 6,236 verses in the Noble Quran. That story you heard when you were young, 6666, is nothing like that. It's incorrect. There is, Mustafa, just see if you got the Quran Sharif of the Haram. You know the Haram Sharif one? Yeah. So if you see, when we go Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara, then you will see the Quran Sharif that are there. And if you can read Arabic, let's see, I hope you've got the right one. Here it is, mashallah. See, Mufti Sahib, وَقَدْ كَتَبَهُ الْخَطَّاتُ Usman Taha. You saw? That's it. So, subhanallah, if you look at this Quran Sharif, so you will find that it was written by Sheikh Usman Taha. He hails from Halab, from Aleppo. I met him twice, alhamdulillah. And you will find he wrote this Quran Sharif with his hands. No typing, no computer. To write one Quran Sharif took him 3 years. 7 times he wrote the Quran Sharif. And I told him, I can't sit on your sofa until you take out your hand and I kiss your hand. 21 years the man took to write the Quran. See, here it is, Mufti Sahib, you can show them afterwards. 6236. You see? So, subhanallah, you must remember the man wrote the Quran. Me and you, if we write a check 50 times, 100 times, you will find we will be putting extra zeros also. What do you think? Huh? So you must, this is Allah. How Allah Ta'ala chooses people. So I told him, Fadilatul Ustad Sheikh, now you gave me, showed me this, now I want something else. So he said, what do you want now? I said, write my name. So he said, okay, write. So I wrote Abdul Qadir Hussain. So he went to the back after 15 minutes, 10 minutes, he came back and he said, okay, who's take it? He said, but I'm going to show you, I'm giving you this, but one thing I'm not going to show you. So I said, what you're not going to show me, Ustad? He said that the pen I used to write your name, I used the same pen to write the Quran Sharif, but I'm not going to show you the pen. So I told Sheikh, leave the pen, just give me the paper, my name there. So Alhamdulillah, I gave it. Then second time I took my wife. So subhanallah, I wrote her name also. The point I'm making, we believe unanimously that the Quran Sharif is 114 surahs, 6,236 verses. Okay? And we are the only people on the face of the earth that have memorized the entire Quran Sharif. Whether it's young, whether it's old, whether it's male, whether it's female, Arab, non-Arab, millions of people. And you can see during the month of Ramadan, subhanallah, the miracle of the Quran Sharif is exposed to all humankind in all different countries and continents. One, two mistakes we make, and the ulama also make this mistake. You must remember that maybe we heard from our teachers and so forth. We must not get carried away with emotional arguments. Sometimes you hear the ulama and people saying, the Shias cannot become Hafiz. They don't have Hafiz. That statement is definitely incorrect. I'll give you three incidents quickly. Once I was in Madinah Munawwara, it was a Friday, in Masjid Nabawi, I had the Quran Sharif in my hand. I was reading Surah Kahf or Surah Dukhan or whatever, many years ago. One person came and he tapped me and he spoke fluent, eloquent English. And I asked him, from where are you, brother? He said, I'm from Iraq. I said, what are you doing? He said that I'm a nuclear scientist. I said, subhanAllah. You're a nuclear scientist, why you don't take care of Israel? He started smiling. He said, but I'm coming to you. I don't know if somebody sent him or what. And he said, test me. I'm a Hafiz of Quran. I said, you Hafiz? I hate Quran Sharif. So I just turned few pages. I said, read. So he read. He gave me the surah number and he gave me the ayat numbers. Five different places. I just tested him. He made one slight mistake. For example, I don't remember now exactly, but just say it was verse 94. He said verse 93 or something. So I told him, I accept, you're not only a Hafiz, you're a very good Hafiz. And mashallah, Allah Ta'ala keep the Quran Sharif in your heart. But he's Shia. And he made it very clear. So I told him, see, that if I was the examiner, I will give you 94-95%. Because one slight mistake. He said, fine. Now I can't give him the upper hand. So I told him, now my brother, what we're going to do is this. We in Masjid Nabawi, I said, me and you, we go right in front. And we go and read Salat and Salam upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we come to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Thani Yasnain, the second of the two, we read Salam on him. I didn't even speak of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu. He said no, he interjected and said we only read Salam by Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not by Sayyidina Abu Bakr. I said, okay, you Hafiz, I accept it. There is a dictionary called Munjid. If you know the history of the dictionary, Munjid was written by an Arab Christian. He was Hafiz of Quran and is a Christian. So to become a Hafiz of Quran is not a prerequisite, you must be a Muslim. So I told him, you in Masjid Nabawi, my name is Abdul Qadir Hussain, I pronounce you out of the fold of Islam. He got a shock. He said, how can you tell me that? I said, Surah 9 verse 40 read. Surah 9 verse 40 read. He doesn't want to read. I said, I'll read for you. And if you go to Masjid Nabawi, you will find on the shelves the Quranic translations. So I told him, see, there's the Farsi one, the Persian one. So you understand Farsi very well. See what is written. He said, no, leave it. You translate for me. I said, okay. I read Surah 9 verse 40. ثَانِيَثْنَيْنِ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Almighty Allah is speaking of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Almighty Allah is telling Nabi alayhi salatu salam, tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Don't be worried, don't be sad, don't grieve. Verily Allah's mercy, Allah's help is with us. So you must remember that once I told him that, he stood up, he said, I'm bringing the Ayatullah. So I told him, bring Ayatullah, bring Hujjatullah, whoever you want, I'm sitting here. Nobody came. So we make a mistake sometime in our emotional argument. We say this type of things which is incorrect. Second, if you know the history and politics of Iran, because everything there works, aurat and daulat, with money and women. So they told them, if you become a hafiz, we will give you an MA degree. So subhanallah, the Sunnis who are there in Iran, thousands of them are hafiz. They all went and they collected their MA degree and they started doing PhD. Then the Shias also started coming. So today if you go to Iran, you will find thousands of hafiz. So don't make that mistake. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now my brothers, what do the Shias believe? That's the point. That is tonight's talk. You have to juxtapose, you have to compare what we say, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and what the Shia say on the other side. With references from their books. So they say, Kulaini writes in Usulul Kafi, this is their most authentic book, like how we have Bukhari Sharif. So they say that in the Quran there are 17. That's why I gave you all this history. They say in the Quran Sharif there is 17,000 verses. 17,000 verses. And this is written in Usulul Kafi. So the question arises, but where is that Quran? They say it's by Imam Ghaib, the 12th Imam. And he's sitting in the cave. He's the caveman. And remember, he's missing in action for 12 centuries. Ashabi Kahf stayed in the cave for 300 years. He beat them a long time in this time. The caveman. So there's no such thing, there's no such Quran, but this is the Shia belief. And remember, there are books written by their leading scholars like Faslul Khitab and so forth, where they admit, you must remember, that the Quran Sharif is incomplete, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So when you go to Iran, I went to Iran, I spent 12-13 days there. So you must remember that I went to see all their Qurans. It seems like our Quran. We don't lie against our enemies. Quran does not allow us. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَا أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا وَأَقْرَبُوا لِلتَّقْوَى. When you hate people, it doesn't mean you must go against justice. We are fair. What I saw, I'll tell you. So you must remember in their Husayniya, in their temples, we don't call it masjid. So they have, you must remember, all these type of things. The Quran Sharif is same. But that does not mean that that is not their belief. Their belief is we will use this Quran for expediency. This is political jargon. You see the politicians, they will always say, what must we do so we can get more votes? Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. You see, Maaf, if there's any lawyer here, any attorney, just now you go and sue me or something, you know. You see, the one attorney, he graduated from law school. You see. So the father was very excited. And the father invited people. And then when everybody went away, the father was a big shot barrister, senior counsel. He called his son, he said, son, You're a hopeless lawyer. So he said, Father, how can you make such a statement? I'm a big shot lawyer. He said, no, I'm observing you this whole night. Your hands are in your pocket. If you were a smart and sharp lawyer, your hand should be in other people's pocket. Understand? So that is how they operate, you understood? So they use this for political expediency. Because if they say they don't accept the Quran, nobody will accept them. So that is how they operate. So you need to understand that how they operate. So this is that they say 17,000 verses in the Noble Quran with the references I gave you. Second one, I told you 10. This is number 2. We say we have what we call ahadith. We have the sayings of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sisters, don't worry, I'm still alive. Maybe you think this man passed away or the mic passed away, you understand? I was just sipping some water. Okay, so we believe Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Muslim Sharif, all these hadith kitabs. See, brothers and sisters, if you want to understand Islam, you must understand the miracles of Islam. In Islam, we have a chain of transmission. When we went to Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Muhammad bin Ismail, and we asked him, When you go to Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail, rahimahullah, so we ask him, which is Asahul Asanid? Which is Silsilatul Zahab, the golden chain? He'll tell you Malik, An-Nafi, An Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik reports from Nafi, Nafi reports from Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar reports from Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are the only people on this earth that have a chain. You go now, just go anywhere here, and bring a Bible in any language. So you will see the Bible they write according to Luke, according to Matthew, according to John. Why they have to write according to? Because none of them met Nabi Isa alayhi salam. None of them even saw Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Therefore, they have so many different Bibles and different versions of the Bible that even the versions get confused. So we have, now see, brothers of Mauritius, sisters of Mauritius, Ahlul Sunnah, there is an Orientalist, he's a priest, but he studied Islam in depth. I read his books. The Orientalist is called Montgomery Watt. His first name Montgomery, his surname Watt, W-A-T-T. The book I'm referring to of his is called The Formative Period. The title of the book is called The Formative Period. In there he writes, he says, I studied your people's asanid, your chain of transmission, and I'm amazed at the amount of consistency I found in Abu Dawood and Nasai and the various compilations. He says, non-Muslim, al-fadlu ma shahidan bil a'da'u. Virtue is that even your enemy, he bears testimony to it. He says, you are the only people on this earth. You have the profile, you have the life history of 500,000 ruwat and reporters, male, female, 500,000 people. And today, we have very few people left in the world. We call this science, we call this discipline, to know ilmu rijal. If you go to Imam Bukhari's teacher, Ali ibn Abdullah was his name, he used to say, ilmu rijal, nisfu ilmi al-hadith. If you know the chain of transmission, then you understood half the hadith already. But today people didn't worry about this thing. But I'm explaining to you. So we accept the hadith. Whether it's Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, Ulamatta, Malik, Musa. Now that is what we believe in. When we come to the Shias, Shias say all your books, we reject everything. They reject our Bukhari, our Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, everything. Why they reject it? They reject it, first reason, the Sahaba are not Muslims. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. They say Sahaba are murtad. They apostates, they left Islam, besides 5, 6, 7 of them. So how can we accept them? Second, they have their own books. For you, the ulama, you should know this. They have Usulul Kafi, they have Furuul Kafi, they have Malla Yahdurul Faqih, they have Al-Istibsar, all these own books they have. They say these are our hadith compilations, and why they accept it? They say in the chain of transmission, there must be an imam from the 12 imams. They say there must be one of the imam must be there in the chain. Then only they will accept it. So see, our entire hadith they reject. They will only use the hadith from our kitab when it suits their desire. They will go to Tirmizi and quote it, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahadil Jannah, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, radiallahu anhumah, are, you must remember, the leaders of the youth in Jannah, so they accept it. Accept it meaning because it's in their favor. But everything else from Sahih Muslim, 90% they'll reject. Are we clear? Second discussion. Third discussion. Fiqh. Fiqh is jurisprudence. We say Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, but they reject all of it. They're not interested in all of it. So we say, what do you want? Now, before you understand this, let's make this number three. The concept of imamat. They say, pay attention, I've got all those books. I brought it with. So nobody can tell me that I'm taking out of my sub. If you want, after the program, I'm mashallah by Dr. Abdullah Hussein and his family. Allah Ta'ala reward all of them, fi dunya wal akhirah. And I'll show you in their books what they wrote. So Shia say, understand what Shia say. This is the point number three. First, Almighty Allah. Second, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third, Imams. Imam Ali, I'm using their terms. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Ja'far. And then it carries on. But I'll stop here for a reason. So my brothers, they say, the Shias, that the 12 Imams are greater and superior than the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So according to them, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Baqir, Imam Ja'far and remainder are greater than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, greater than Nabi Musa alayhi salam, greater than Nabi Isa alayhi salam and all the Anbiya besides Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is 100% kufr. It takes a person right out of the fold of Islam. So what is the point of difference? They say, Shias, that Imamat is Wahhabi. Allah Ta'ala gave it to them and selected them. We say no, Imamat is Kasbi, that we can become the Imam. And Almighty Allah has taught us in the Quran. Surah 25, verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of our eyes. And Ya Allah, make us the imam of the pious people. So how can you say, in Nubuwa we have selection by Allah, not election by people. But imamat is not like that. Imamat, we can attain it and obtain it. So this is a big, big difference we have with them. We'll refer to it again just now. So when you understood that, now you come to the fiqh, the jurisprudence. They say, the Shias, that how you got four schools, Shafi, Maliki, Hanafi, Hanbali. So now we need to add another school. And I have the book. Al-fiqhu alal madahib al-khamsa. That fiqh according to the five schools. So Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Ja'fari. What they call theirs? Ja'fari. Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussein, Hazrat Zainul Abidin, Hazrat Baqir, Jazal Ja'far. All are Sunni. They got nothing to do with Shia. The Shias are just using their name to gain credibility. So they say Ja'fari Mazhab. You see? So you must remember this is the agenda they want to push. And when they go to the universities and colleges, they will say, see, you got four schools, so you just add another school. So what is the big deal? We say, no, there's a big difference. When we have Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, these are ikhtilaf, difference on opinion, on secondary, subsidiary issues. But when you Shias, we have difference on opinion on fundamental issues. You don't accept our Quran, you don't accept our Hadith, you don't accept Sahaba. So we say you're out of the fold of Islam and you got nothing to do with us and we got nothing to do with you. So we need to be clear on all these issues here. So when they say they want Fiqhul Ja'fariyya, let me give you a few examples of Fiqhul Ja'fariyya according to Shias. When I was in Iraq, now you'll pay attention. Because I don't think anybody here been to Iran in the crowd? Anybody? No. Nobody? No. So I'll just give you 3-4 easy examples. Any one of you can see it. I don't know, Mauritius, I think you're still alright. But if you come to our country, South Africa, especially nowadays, you will see in South Africa a lot of potholes. You know potholes? So when you enter into their places, the Husainiya, so you enter from that door, you enter from that door, you will find they have on the wall, so they have stones, small stones. They call it, you understand, Karbala stones and all this there, Turab. So 90%, I used to walk around everywhere. Obviously I don't read Salat behind them, I don't consider them Muslim, how can I read Salat behind them? But I used to go as an investigating journalist, you see. They all knew them, but nobody would tell me anything. They all looked fine. They saw I'm not reading Salat, I'm walking around, I go look at the kitabs and whatever. So 90% of them, they take one stone. And when they make sajda, they got carpet, then they place their forehead on that. Some of them, they take two stones. You know why they take two stones? One for forehead and one for the nose. One for wheel alignment and one for balances. Too many potholes. You got it? That is Fiqhul Ja'fariyya. Everybody must get it. Put one stone, that is that what they're teaching you. One. Two. We read Salat behind the Imam. Imam's name? Maulana Tamim. We read Salat behind Maulana Tamim, you could see him, everything, mashallah. There you don't see the Imam. You can't see the Imam. When you go, after they all went out, I said, let me go see. So I came quietly there, and then I peeped inside. So when you come here in front, then the Imam, they stays for him. He goes right down, and then he stands there. You can only see his head. And here at the back, his shoulder and the lower back, all that, you can't see anything. So when I had a debate with them, I asked them, what your Imam is doing in a hole? What your Imam is doing in a hole? They said, no, the Imam must be a humble Imam. Not a humbly. Not Imam Ahmad bin Ahmad. Your Imam must be a humble Imam. So therefore we put him in a hole. So I said that if you want to make him so humble, you should just make a bigger hole and put him in the grave one time. You should be humble forever. So you must remember this type of thing. So this is Shia Mazhab. Shia Ja'fari. You see? I studied their fiqh from starting to end. Believe you me, brothers, sisters, beloved children, I haven't found one chapter. Wudu is a chapter. Salat is a chapter. Siyam, fasting is a chapter where we can agree. We make wudu, we wash hands, goggle mouth, nose, hands, wudu. Then we wash hands, massage feet. No. They say this. They say that they reject masa al-khufain. You know you got the leather sock, not this kind of sock. You can make masa on the sock. They reject that. And they say you don't wash the feet. You see my foot now? They just make leathers. When I was in Iran, I used to go and see all of them, the men. I want to just see what they're doing. They just make leathers, all of them. They just make leathers. They make masa al-qadamain. So how you can read salat behind them? Their azan is different. Their azan is different. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then they write after that, Aliyun waliyullah. So they put Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's name after that. So where is that mentioned? Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. And then they put Hayya ala khayril amal. So where is that mentioned? So azan is different, wuzu is different, salat is different. This is academic discussion. We say, if a person, I'm musafir, and if I'm following the Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali school, so I read Zuhur and Asr together, combined Jama'ah. I read Maghrib and Isha, it's permissible. Hanafis don't allow his academic discussion. They, Shias, day and night, they in the hometown and they read daily Zuhur and Asr together same time. They make Jama every day at home. And they read Maghrib, Isha at home. They combine. So time for Salat is three. Fajr, Fajr time, in Zuhur time, Zuhur and Asr. And Maghrib time, Maghrib and Isha. This is Fikul Ja'far. When I used to teach in Darul Newcastle, I was there 20 years, mashallah. I used to tell the students, Al-khilaf baynana wa bayna ahlu shi'a fi kulli shayin hatta fil jima'. That we have difference of opinion with them in everything. So much so, that even if you go to your wife, in that we got difference of opinion. Quran says Surah 2 verse 2, Surah 2 verse 2 to 3. The Shia say you can go front, you can go back. They like backdoor business. Shias. Wallahi is written in their books. I got the book. And I ask them, is lies? Yes, see in your kitab is written. You study fasting. They say you must wait for 20 minutes after sunset. Then you break your fast. You go for Hajj, you will find them, they climbing the rock, the mountains. They're looking for stones there to pelt the shaitan. They won't pick up from Mina, they'll go pick up from the mountains in there. We got Tawafu Ziyarat, they got Tawafu Nisa. So I haven't found anything where we can agree on. So that is Fikul Ja'fariya. So don't let people fool you and so forth. Let's come to specific incidents. They say, the Shias, they say these are claims they make against us. We must be able to answer and answer convincingly. They say Hajjatul Wida took place in the 10th year of the Hijrah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning, going back to Madinah Munawwara. The Master alayhi salam stopped at the place, is called Ghadir-e-Khum. And there Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the hand of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and said, Man kuntu mawlahu fa aliyun mawlahu. That whosoever is the friend of Ali is my friend, whoever is my friend is the friend of Ali. There, according to Shias, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Sayyidina Ali the Imam and the Khalifa after his demise. That is how they say. We say that look at the chronological table. Let us follow the sequence of events. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Hajj 4th of Zilhijjah. 14th Zilhijjah is the 10th year of the Hijrah. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam left 10 days. On the 18th of Zilhijjah, this incident took place. We accept it. It's a hadith. It's mentioned in Musnad Ahmad and Muslim in various compilations. So we accept the hadith. But the deduction and the meaning you are taking out is wrong. Why is wrong? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make that announcement, should he make the announcement in Ghadir Khum, where few hundred sahaba were there, or he should make it in Hajj, where 124,000 sahaba? One. Second, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell ill, so how come Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, you make the imamah? Not for one salat was he made the imam. 17 salat, the imamah was done by who? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. To show the ummah, Thaniya's name, my khalifa, is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. You'll understand it? And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu would read salat daily behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So therefore, don't let the Shias fool you with all this type of propaganda and so forth. Next point they come, they say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, when I had a debate there in Iran, this was the point they brought. They said that, and when I asked him there in Iran, another incident, will you make salam to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? They said no. So I asked him why. He said that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is a person who usurped the rights of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Meaning he took her inheritance away. Understand this, brothers, properly. Don't fall in the trap of the Shias. So we need to understand the facts properly. It is the 7th year of the Hijrah. It is the month of Muharram. And the battle is called Khaybar. Right? This was the headquarters of the Jews. I've been to Khaybar, 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu played a great role there. Therefore, his one title is Fatih Khaybar. So when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali, Sahaba conquered, then there was a garden, and it's called Fadak. That portion came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, the demise takes place. This is true. This is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, she was the only child of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. At that time, all the other daughters had passed away, the sons had passed away in infancy. She came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha and said, my father passed away, so I must inherit. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, oh Fatima radiallahu anha, your beloved father said, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرُ الْأَنْبِيَا لَا نَرِثُ وَلَا نُورِثُ. We are the group of Anbiya, we don't inherit, and no one inherits from us. And it's authentic hadith, you open Mishkan Musnad Ahmad. So Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha went away. So the Shias used that incident and say, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, that Sayyida Abu Bakr, he stole and usurped the share of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. You understand? So I asked him three questions. I asked him number one, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is Khalifa. His daughter is Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha is the honorable wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did the honorable wives, did Hazrat Aisha get any share? If the wife didn't get a share and they got nothing, so how can the daughter get a share? Are you understanding? So this proves the justice of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He didn't give a share to his daughter, who is the honorable wife of Nabi alayhi salam. So if the wife didn't get, then how can the daughter get? So both, nobody gets one. Today, O Shia, you are cursing, swearing, abusing Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr passes away in the 13th year. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu in the 23rd year. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu in the 35th year. Now we come to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warda. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is Khalifa, is Amirul Mu'mineen. The garden is still there. It comes to the Baytul Mal. So why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu? Hazrat Fatima passed away 6 months after sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ramadan. Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein and them were there. So why Sayyidina Ali did not take that share and give it to his beloved sons and all of them? So you will have to say, if hypothetically Sayyidina Abu Bakr usurped the rights and stole the share, then it means even Sayyidina Ali stole the share. Are you understanding? So you must remember, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي kafar, they run away, they can't answer these questions. So never, and just on a side note, when you go to Palestine and you see our flowers, our children, and they take on the mightiest army in the Middle East with Iman in their hands and stones in their hand, Iman in their hearts and stone in their hands, and what they say, Khaybar, Khaybar, ya Yahud, inna jaysha Muhammad sawfa yahud. Khaybar, Khaybar, ya Yahud, inna jaysha Muhammad sawfa yahud. O Jews, remember Khaybar, remember Khaybar. We are the army of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can kill us, but you can never kill our spirits. We coming and we're going to liberate Aqsa and Palestine. You understood, brothers? They realize this ummah is hopeless and useless and impotent. To rely on the ummah, it will not happen. We will do it ourselves. So when they go, I've been there several times with Allah's help. So when they go, then they have the slogan and they say, Biddam, birruh, nafdika ya aqsa. With our blood, with our lives, we will give you our life of Aqsa, but we will never give in to the Yahud and the Zionists. That's a nation. Our history is not written in black and white. Our history is written in black and red. The black ink of the honorable ulama and the red blood of our shuhada and martyrs. That is Islam, brothers. Next question, Quran, Sunnah, Fiqh, Sahaba. I told you a little bit yesterday, I told you how they hate Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh in a place in Iran called Kashan. They built a mazar, a shrine for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh. But they want to tell us, I saw my own eyes. And they want to tell us Islamic Republic of Iran. Islamic Republic does this, shaitans. So you must remember. You should be making 2 rakat salam to shukr daily for Sayyidina Umar. In Sayyidina Umar's time, Iran got conquered and Iran became a Muslim country. In 1501 Gregorian calendar, the Sunnis lost it. And in 1501, Ismail Safavi and his cronies, they took over Iran, and from that time there, it became a Shia country. Carry on. Big masla between us and Shias is Ahlul Bayt. Who is Ahlul Bayt? The word Ahlul Bayt is mentioned 3 times in the Quran. 2 places, there's no ikhtilaf. It refers to the wife of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. It refers to the mother of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Ladies, Surah 33, verse 33. Surah 33, verse 33. Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhibankum rijsa ahlal bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. To understand Quran, my brothers, you need to understand the siyaq and the sabaq. You need to understand the text and the context. So before Surah 33, verses 31, 32, and Surah 33, verse 34, Almighty Allah is speaking all about the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam. So when you ask the Shia, who is Ahlul Bayt? They say Panchten Pak, only 5 people. You will hear our people also speak these kind of things, unknowingly. So, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Fatima radhiyallahu anha, Sayyida Ali radhiyallahu anha, Sayyida Hasan radhiyallahu anha, Sayyida Hussein radhiyallahu anha. So these are five people finished. This is Ahlul Bayt. This is what the Shia tell and say. Is this what we believe? No, we reject it. We say in Ahlul Bayt, the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam are definitely included. Simple, if you know Arabic, Urdu, and you ask, how's your ahl? It means, how's your wife, how's your children, and so forth. Secondly, I ask them this question, and the Shias cannot give an answer. I say, let's take your reasoning. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Ahlul Bayt, we all accept. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most beloved, the most precious to Allah for all times, all places in the entire universe. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is, you must remember, the beloved daughter of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she's Ahlul Bayt. But you have the father, pay attention. You have the father, you have the daughter. How come the mother is not included? What happened to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha? They accept superficially Sayyida Khadija. So why you excluded Sayyida Khadija? They look down. I say, Shaitan, you remove Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha because of your hatred for Siddiqa bint Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, because of your hatred for Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, the daughter of Umar. They hate Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and they hate the daughters of Abu Bakr and Umar, Sayyida Aisha, Sayyida Hafsa. Hence they took all the wives out and excluded them. You understood, Ahlul Sunnah? You need to be very confident and have conviction. When I was in Iran, is Allah's way of working. I didn't go there, I just went as a visit. I told you last night, and I'll repeat it, some of your brothers and sisters were not there. My wife and myself went in 2013 to Iran. And when we went, we had no visa, nothing. So from South Africa, Dubai to Tehran, they call it Khomeini Airport. Just now I'll tell you about Khomeini. So you must remember, there were 8-10 people in front of us. I told my wife, let them go, we make zikr. So our turn came, I gave my passport. He looked at me, Husseini, Husseini, Abdul Qadir Hussein. He said, Hussein. I said, yes, Hussein. Then I took my wife's passport, gave it. He said, Fatima, Fatima. In their mind, Husseini, Fatima, we 100% Shia. So our names worked out very good. With Allah's help. So he said, sit down. So after 10-12 minutes or so, they came, they stamped our passport, 2 weeks visa, and I made my trip for 13 days. First of Rabiul Awwal, Monday, and Saturday the following week, I returned back to South Africa. Nowhere they intimidated me, harassed me, no. Everywhere they used to treat me very well. But they knew that this ship is 100% Sunni. So I went there to Qum. Qum is their spiritual capital. If you go to Iraq, I've been to Iraq also in 2000. So if you go to Iraq, you will find Karbala is the main place. And in Iran, two places are the main place. One is Qum and one is Mashhad. From the 12 Imams of the Shia, only one Imam is buried in Iran. And that's in Mashhad, Imam Riza is buried there. That's what they say. So when I went to Qum, I spent 3 nights there. So, cut long story short. So I told them I want to go buy books. So I went, I love reading, you know. I love reading. Anywhere I go, I'll pick a book. Just now I was there by Mufti Sahib's place also. I want 2 books quick there, I just read something. So, I was buying books. So one person came, uncle, you from South Africa? I said, yes. He said, which part? I said, Dalasia. He said, what's your name? I said, Abdul Qadir. I said, you? From where are you? He said, Victoria. I said, what's your name? He said, Yasir. I said, then I raised my voice. I said, you became Shia. These small youngsters, 17, 18 years old. He looked down and said, uncle, I became Shia. This was his heartbreaking, you know. I said, come here. I want to ask you some questions. He said, no. Me, I don't know anything. I just came now. I'm learning Farsi, Persian. Because medium of instruction is Persian. But you tell me where you are, I'll bring the expert. Anything you ask, he'll answer you. I want to show you, brothers of Mauritius and sisters, how dangerous it is. So, I gave him the card. It was 7 o'clock at night. Because they combined their Salat, Dair and Maghrib, Isha, everything. So Yasir came, with Safiyullah. Wama adraka man Safiyullah. Who is Safiyullah? Safiyullah is that person, you'll know South Africa, remember in Miaspam, Hafiz Abdul Rahman was there, he was the wali of his time, sage of the age. He, Safiyullah, became a Hafiz there in Miaspam. Safiyullah, when he finished that, he went to Azhar University. Supposed to be our type of Sunnis. That time the revolution took place in Iran in 79. He met some politicians, South Africans, who were in exile. And they were there in Egypt. You know, South Africa 94 got new government and all. So they told him, Safiyullah, you're wasting your time here. Say, what must I do? Say, go to Iran. You will learn real Islam, true Islam. There's these people, they're just wasting your time. He fell for the trick and he went. He studied in Miaspam, 3-4 years, 6-5 years. He finished school there. He went to Azhar, he spent 4-6 years there, whatever. Meaning not a short period, long. When I met him in 2013, he was 15 years already in Iran, in Qom. And he's still there even now, as I speak to you. So I even joke with him, you sheikhs, I call him sheikh. He call me mufti, I call him sheikh. I say, sheikh, what you want to become, the great Ayatollah of South Africa or what? Oh, so you spent 15 years here. When are you coming back? So we can have more discussion. So anyway. So when I asked him all these type of questions, he couldn't answer anyone. This is Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy. That's why I choose these topics for you. It happened to him, he left Islam and he joined them. Because money is sweeter than honey. You got it? Shias will use aurat and daulat. They will use their money and they will use the woman. So we come now to Khomeini. So just to finish that, 10 o'clock he left, 3 hours. We spoke, then we had a debate. Yasir is a witness. I asked him, Yasir, who won the debate? He said, uncle, you won. Uncle, you won. I said, at least one shaitan was there to give witness. So next day I told them, you come with me, we go live on the radio, on CII, and you sit here, you got home ground advantage, you got all the books, I got nothing. I read 2 rakat salat, we started. He said, I don't want to debate with you. So I told them, I will say all this. But they accepted it. They did what they put. Allah's help. So never feel, you must remember, intimidated with these people there, you must know what is happening. So Ahlul Bayt means the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam, the honorable children of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honorable grandchildren of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah 33, see simple example. If you were there today, Jummah time, I did something which you would not normally hear. For this reason I do it. In Markazi Masjid. Anybody here in the crowd, you'll know? Anybody knows? How many people read Jummah? Like an exact amount? Not just guesswork. How many thousand people can come there? Any one of you know? None of you? 3,000, 4,000, how many? Nobody. Always looks, everybody thinking of the akhirat. So now I want to know, when I speak on the radio, then I must speak facts, you know, and this type of thing. Nobody knows. So we will find out from Qari Salim, inshallah. So, Surah 33, verse 59. Allah Jalla Wala is addressing the women. Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajik, tell your beloved wives, wa banatik, bintun banatu, bint one daughter, banat several daughters. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam had four daughters. Shia say one daughter. When we ask them what is the meaning here, they say al-jabul ta'zim. Allah is showing respect to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and Allah used Hazrat Fatima plural. You see the shaitans, how they distort the message. So if you heard my khutbah today, there in your people's Markazi Masjid, after we took the four khulafa's name, then we said, wa ala sayyidati tayyibati tahirat, Zainab, wa Ruqayya, wa Fatima, wa Umme Kulthum. That is why we say it. When you say wa ana Fatima only, then you are proving the Shia school. You understand? You place it into their heads. So you must take all four daughters' names to show we belong to Ahlul Sunnah, and we promoting what the Quran is teaching us. Surah 33, verse 59. You got it? So that is Ahlul Bayt. Khomeini the Shaitan, if you got any inclination to him or whatever, I say openly on the radio, he's out of the fold of Islam. They gave me all the books. You must remember. Khomeini write a book which I got now. You can come with us. I'll give it to you, show it to you. Show you the page, show you the book, everything. You can come with me after the program. The book's name, Tawdihul Masail. The book written by Imam Khomeini. They write all time. We say, La'anahullah. Allah's curse be upon him. So in day he writes, Khomeini, you can make mut'a for 1 hour. You can make mut'a for 1 hour. You know what is mut'a? The time now is 10 to 10. You get a lady and you give her 50 rupees, 50 euros, $50, and she's happy, you happy, you use her, you abuse her for 1 hour. She goes her way, you go your way. So Shias, they allowed it. So I said on the radio, your Khomeini is promoting prostitution. Yeah. Your Khomeini is promoting prostitution. And any person who promotes prostitution is out of the fold of Islam. And he wrote it in his own book. You saw the book? I showed them. Tell me I'm lying. So no, he wrote the book. So I say, what you say of this? He said, keep quiet. I can't tell them, you bring your daughter, I will make. I tell them, bring your daughter, we'll get somebody to make muta with her. What you say? Say, no. I say, Shaitan, you want to make muta with other people's daughter, but you don't want people to make muta with your daughter. And you in Mauritius, it's nice time to bring one masla of your people's also, because a lot of people are sending me this question. They say some people are making secret nikah. You know secret nikah? We call it spare wheel. You know your car got spare wheel. They got wife, but behind they get the role of a woman and they make nikah. Bichari, the wife, she knows nothing. The girl's father doesn't know anything. We call that in South Africa parking nikahs. You know, parking nikah. They meet in the supermarket. Supermarket got big parking, 1,000 cars. So the boy and girl sit in the car, darling, I love you. She say, I love you more. See, even married, 100%. They say, okay, we got these two people, one from Somalia, one from Pakistan, one from South Africa, one from Pakistan. Sometimes they paint them. They say, these two chaps are witnesses. Come, we make the nikah. You see, you call that secret nikah. Secret nikah is haram. On the radio I see very clearly. Hadith Tirmidhi, Hadith Abu Dawood, Hadith Musnad Ahmad, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. There is no nikah. La ilaha. There is no deity illallah except Allah. None worthy of worship except Allah. La nikaha. There is no nikah. It's null and void. Illa bi waliyin. Except the girl's father must give consent. It's authentic hadith. It's sahih hadith. That is the verdict of the Shafi'is. That is the verdict of the Malikis. That is the verdict of the Hanbalis. What is the verdict of the Hanafis? Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahimahullah, I met him personally. He was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. And my humble opinion, one of the greatest scholars Indo-Pak produced. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib, Grand Mufti. Go open his Fatwa Kitab, Imdadul Muftin, page 551. I'll give you the reference, everything. He writes, question, if a girl who follows the Hanafi school is Akila Baliga, sane and mature, and she got married without the permission of her father, is the nikah valid or not? So he writes, I'll give you page 551. He writes in Imdadul Muftin, agar larki Hanafi mazhab ki ho, aur Akila bhi ho, Baliga bhi ho, she's sane, mature, and she got married without the permission of her father, and she got married in the ghair kuf, someone not compatible, suitable for her, to Hanafi ka fatwa ye hai, ke the nikah is batil, is null and void. The nikah never took place. That is the fatwa of the Hanafis. I give you the reference. You can see. So don't fool yourself with this kitab and loopholes. And then all the loopholes are causing moha. So I tell on the radio, where's the husband? He's going to play golf. Not golf day, he's going to play other kind of golf. No, sir. So remember that this is shaitanian. You're committing a haram according to all four schools. So don't get involved with all these type of things. Next one. When we speak about the Shias, so you must remember that they have an aim. If you study Judaism, Mawlana, you got a coin, any coin. If you go study Judaism, so you see this, this is a coin, I don't know how much it is, you understand? The coins we got here, we gave it to the beggars. You know, I told my wife, give it sadqa, you understand? My wife, she still make istikhara sometimes, I said, just give it, you understand? So this, coins make noise in the pocket, you know, ting, ting, ting. Just give it away. So this is a coin, which side is heads, which side is tails, I don't know, you understand? You see, this side is Judaism. This side is Shiaism. They're both shaitans. The only difference, this is bahir ka dushman, the enemy external, and this is andar ka dushman, this is the internal enemy. The founder of Shia Azam is Abdullah bin Sabah. He was a Jew. And this is written in their book, Rijalul Kashi, this big Shia book, in there also is written. You got it? They admit the founder of Shia Azam is a Jew. Be clear? Right. So if you study Judaism, if you study Zionism, Zionism got four aims. Palestine will be finished, Israel must come. It happened in 48. Capital must be Jerusalem, that happened already in 67, they occupied Jerusalem. Third one, pay attention, look at me. This is the flag of Israel. It's a white flag. It got blue line on top, it got blue line at the bottom, and the Star of David in between. So you call this Eretz Israel, the greater Israel. You follow? So today, what that line means on top, the line at the bottom, Minal Furati ila Nil, from the river Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates River in Iraq. So they're expanding their borders all the time. You got it? So these three things are accomplished almost. One more thing is left. That the dream of the Zionist is fulfilled. I don't know if any one of you went to Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa. The big wall that is there is 35 acres. The structure in front, that is Masjid al-Aqsa. At the back is Qubbatu Sakhra, the dome of the rock. The golden dome built in 72 after Hijrah by Abdul Malik bin Marwan. And Surah Yasin inscribed there and so forth. So they say openly, and nowadays it's becoming so evident. The army comes, they come, everything with their shoes, their boots and everything. They say, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, that they are going to demolish the Qubbatu Sakhra, and they are going to occupy it, replace it with Haikal Sulaimani, the Temple of Solomon. This is their story. What is Shia story? Shia story is all these Arab capitals, one by one we must finish them. You see, Syria is theirs, Iraq is theirs, Lebanon is theirs, Yemen is also this way, that way. What happens after that? Khomeini writes, Shias write, our aim is not all this. Our aim is to take over the Haramain Sharifain, to take over Makkah, Medina. That is our primary goal and objective. These are all ways that we want to open the road to get control over the Haramain Sharifain. They are big sheikh, they are big imam, Baqir Majlisi. Wake up Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Baqir Majlisi says the big shaitan, la'anahu Allah, the day we get control over the Haramain Sharifain, then we will go to Sanamain, the two idols, Abu Bakr and Umar, we will take them out. We will go to Baqi and take Aisha out. We will hang them and we will lash. That is Shia. Do you have that haya? Do you have that shame? Do you have the conviction? Tomorrow when you stand in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, when you stand in front of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu an, when you stand in front of Siddiq Abu Bintu Siddiq, then promise them and say, O Mother Aisha, jab tak zindagi ho, as long as I got life, I will protect your honor. You more important to me than my own mother. Ya Aba Bakri, Ya Umar, you more important to me than my own father. That is what we want. Remember, this is our imani taqaza. This is what Islam wants from us. But today, this munafiq ummah, this ghaddar ummah, the satanic ummah speaks of unity with the Shias. Therefore, today, if you heard my program, I said that one person, his so-called sheikh, I said he's a murtad, he's out of the fold of Islam. He's one of the people promoting this. 100% he goes with the Shias, he promotes the Shias, and remember they say, Sunni Shia, bye bye. We must all become brothers. You are a fool to say this. You don't understand Shia tactics and politics. When Shias are in the minority, like South Africa, Mauritius, they will speak of unity. The real enemy is Ismail. The real enemy is America. But you see the coin, Muftizam, don't worry, I'll give you your coin back. So, the side is Israel, the side is Shias. Same thing. They are awlad, they are children, grandchildren of the Yahud. You see every day, Israel say we're going to do this to the Iran, safer athlete. Iran say we're going to do this, but no one does anything. But they let the Arab countries shake. Buy more arms from America, buy more this. They play the game. दिन को गाली देते हैं और रात को जो है वो खिलाए वो मिठाई खाते हैं. Day time they swearing one another and night time they celebrating together. So understand what is Shia Azam. Shia Azam for us is a cancer that wants to destroy. I give you two examples. I forgot to mention it last night. I'm finishing now. Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, Imam Abu Hanifa, one of his greatest students. Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, the Ustad of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, is buried there in Ray. Do you know where is Ray? Ray and Tehran are twin cities. Are cities together. I went to Ray, I went to Tehran. So when you go to this, you go today, you won't find Naam and Nishan. Wherever the Sunni scholars, the Sunni imams and giants are buried, the shaitan, Iranian regime, they saaf kar diya. They have totally demolished it. You will not find anywhere. So when they come into power, then they slaughter you. You saw what they did in Syria? You saw what they did in Iran? The Sunnis in Iran. I challenge any person to prove me wrong. 1501, 2019. In the capital Tehran, they don't have a single, I'm not saying Iran, don't confuse things. In the capital Tehran, they don't have a single masjid proper for the Sunnis. When I was there, 2013, it's Friday, 12th Rabiul Awwal. I made a deal with them. Then I want this, I want this, I want this. They say, okay, you pay extra, you pay. So I paid them everything they did. What is the truth we must speak? And they even gave me one, two extra things. Because Husseini, you know them. So that Friday, I phoned them and told them, sir, they were very good, speakers. Today is Jumu'ah, I'm in Tehran. I must read Jummah Salat in a Sunni masjid. Because now everybody knew I'm Sunni. So they said, we'll come back to you. 12 Rabiul Awwal, 2013. After half an hour, 1 hour, they phoned. They say, Mr. Husseini. My name was Mr. Husseini, Sayyid Husseini. So Mr. Husseini, no Sunni masjid in Tehran. But you want, you can go to that one place, there is where the people they read. That was the Saudi embassy, that one hall they got. So I went there, and just one hall, no masjid, nothing. The imam was a Sudani, and he was speaking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hayat al-tayyiba because of 12 Rabiul Awwal. So see, how you treat the Sunnis. You don't even allow them a masjid in your capital. And you want to speak of unity. So are we not shaitans? That we want to unite with them? Think properly what you are doing. So think properly. Don't become munafiq and hypocrite. Don't sell the deen. Preserve the deen, promote the deen, and propagate through Islam. Last point again. I defeated Safiullah. I gave him my itinerary. So Friday, my wife and sir, we went somewhere. When I came back to the hotel, the chef at reception, Mr. Husseini, I said, what's wrong? He said, big parcel for you. Parcel for me in Tehran. He said, Subhanallah. So my name is written everything. So I said, who left this? He said, no, they said, he must give it to you. I said, all right. So we went to the room, the hotel room. I told my wife Fatima, I said, you stand in that corner. Don't stand here next to me. Maybe the Shia, the shaitans, they put a bomb here or something, and I'll open it, I'll get blown up, and you will get blown up. I get blown up, it's all right, you don't have to get blown up. So slowly, I open. Subhanallah, what a beautiful Quran they gave me. Handwritten. They're masters. They're not Arabs. They're not Arabs. They're Persian, but masters of Arabic calligraphy. Hazrat Sheikh Abul Hasan Najmi also wrote about it. If you read his Rihla and his Safarnama and all, he spoke about their calligraphy. Inside there, then there was a small cart with a cell number. So I told the chap, the guide, I said, bring your phone. Let me phone these people. So we phoned them everything. I told them, no, in Arabic. I told them, mashallah, I got your passes. This, that, jazakallah khair, this, that, and all that. She said, no, you must come tonight. I said, must come where? She said, we got a conference. So I said, okay. I said, I don't understand what you're saying, but anyway, speak to the driver, the guide, he will take me. And my wife won't come, I'll come alone. Every year, pay attention, 12th Rabiul Awwal to 17th Rabiul Awwal, they have a conference. The conference theme and title is At-Taqreeb Bayna Ahli Sunnah Wa Ahli Shia. How to bring unity between the Sunnis and the Shias. They say 12th Rabiul Awwal is Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the honorable birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for Sunnis. And Shia say 17th Rabiul Awwal is Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say 17th. So that 5 days they have big conference every year. So when I went in, I mean, I'm merchant, brothers, what was I like? When I went inside there, I went with a taxi, my guide, so he took me. When I walked in there, I'm dressed just like this, no? Over 20 ayatullahs day in the life. And they all kissing me. I say, these munafiqin kafirs, I know them very well. They're up to something. So every title they gave me beside Imam. Ya Ustad, Ya Duktur, Ya Fadilat al-Sheikh, Ya Mufti, Ya this. You see? And they kiss me, I lucky they didn't have lipstick, you know, my whole face should be full. So all the shaitans. Then 4 of them, they took me in a corner. Ya Ustad, Fadilat al-Duktur, tomorrow is your lecture. What lecture, brother? You see, tomorrow is Ahlu Sunnah wa Ahlu Shia, and you are the guest speaker. Say, subhanallah, I came with my own ticket. I didn't know I'm your guest. You paid for my ticket. Now they don't know what to say. They look down. They say, no. Say, don't worry, we will sort it out. We will put you in 5-star hotel. We will put you first class plane. We will do that. I say, me, tomorrow I'm going home. All Allah's help. This way, that way. They got fed up. You know? They say, tell us what you want. See, Allah. This is Allah. I said, where is the conference? In this place here? They said, yes. I said, when I came in, I saw a lot of books. So they said, yes, it's for all the delegates that will come. I said, anyway, me, I'm not participating. I'm going home tomorrow, and I think you'll know. They said, yes, we know. So I said, you'll do anything for me. They said, yes. I said, let me go and choose the books I want to. I want books in Arabic, I want books in Urdu, I want books in English, I don't know Farsi, so I won't take. They said, fine. Allah's help. So I went to choose the books I wanted. Now I start reading. Khomeini wrote this, Bakir Majlisi wrote this, the Shaitan wrote this. You gave it to me. You see? So this is Allah's system. My message to you, my brothers, sisters and children, protect the Sahaba, protect Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah will leave deen in your house. And you don't do so, then you will become like Safiyullah. Safiyullah's father-in-law is an alim who studied in Jalalabad by Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib, Nawwarallahu Marqadah. He told me himself, speak to the son-in-law of mine. Deen will go away from our homes and they will become the enemies of Islam. So that is the choice me and you have, brothers. Therefore, I go all these countries. My mission is this in life now, that wherever we go, that's why the radio we run, Alhamdulillah, some of you listen to it, we kept the name Markaz Sahaba. The voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And if you want, www.markazsahaba.com. You will find all the details there, and my personal website. If you want, then akhusen.net, and you'll find everything there also. So my brothers, this is my message. That's why I came here. People say you don't go to the beach. People say you don't go here. I say that is not important in my life. The mission of our life now, go to Vietnam, go to Thailand, go to Japan, go to Korea, go the whole world inshallah, is to promote the flag of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and to expose the Shias, to expose the Qadianis, to expose the Aga Khanis, to expose all the shaitans. So, and we do it, alhamdulillah, not with our books, with what they wrote in their own books. Therefore, when I come, today I'm here, Sunday I'll be in Cape Town, so I take these books with me. So anybody wants, you come now, we will show you the books, what they wrote. It's not from our side, what they wrote. And you can see what they write. So think about this one more time, then we finish. Tomorrow, بِأَيِّ أَيْنٍ تَنْزُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Of this, you've got it pages. That is me. When Karbala took place, so you must remember Hazrat Zainul Abideen. Hazrat Zainul Abideen is a survivor of Karbala. He saw his father martyred and murdered. Then he addressed the Shias. You took the oath of allegiance on my father's head. أَخَذْتُمُ الْأَهْدَ وَالْمِيثَاقِ ثُمَّ تَرَكْتُمُ وَخَذَلْتُمُ. Then you forsook my father and left him. بِأَيِّ أَيْنٍ تَنْزُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. One page only. For all the ulama and anybody who knows Arabic, inshallah Mufti Huzaifa will translate it for you in French and English. Hazrat Zainul Abideen, according to Shias, is their fourth imam. See what he says. بِأَيِّ أَيْنٍ تَنْزُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ. Tomorrow, O Shia, how will you look and face Nabi alayhi salam? وَهُوَ يَقُولُ لَكُمْ. And he, the master alayhi salam, will tell you, قَاتَلْتُمْ إِتْرَتِي. You murdered my family. You murdered my nawasa. You murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. وَانْتَهَرْتُمْ حُرْمَتِي. You desecrated our exalted rank. فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. And you are not part of this ummah, you outside. This is not our books. Al-Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. They are books and which they say is authentic. No, who murdered and martyred Sayyidina Hussein was no one else than the Shias. Yea, at the bottom, they even read poetry and they admitted to this heinous crime which makes them kafir and out of the fall of Islam. They said, نَحْنُ قَتَلْنَا عَلِيًّا وَبَنِي عَلِيهِ بِسُيُوفٍ هِنْدِيَّةٍ وَرِمَاحِهِ. Yes, we murdered Ali. Yes, we murdered the son of Ali, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. And we used the swords and the spears made from India. So what more you want? So my brothers, one is Gharka Chor. These people are Gharka Chor. They want to steal your iman. They want to steal your children's iman. So don't think you are in Mauritius and you are immune from this. They infiltrated the whole world. If you come to South Africa, every African township, every black township, you must remember they have infiltrated. Yes, it's my fault. Yes, it's the ulama's fault. It's our fault that we left that vacuum and they infiltrated. So you must not do this. You must make sure you have proper madrasas, you have proper grounding, and your women folk, your children, everybody is learning the true Islam of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. and not the Islam, so-called Islam of these shaitans who are telling you, they're going to teach you the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. You must remember that is a big, big deception. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect us all. Maaf, I took so much time. Normally I don't speak so long, but today was our last program, and tomorrow I'm returning back, inshallah, to South Africa, and Sunday, inshallah, we'll be in Cape Town. So my brothers, sisters, children, that I hope and I pray that all of you understood what is the aim and objective of our coming here. We thank our Dr. Abdullah Hussain and family, Rabda Abdul Alim and family, our Mufti Huzaifa, Mufti Bilal, all of you, Barakallahu Feekum, Jazakallahu Khairan, may all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala accept us all for His deen. Inshallah, we make a small dua, short dua, inshallah, and then we'll take leave from you. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عليك بالشيعة ومن والاهم اللهم عليك بالشيعة ومن والاهم اللهم عليك بأعداء الدين اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين في كل مكان اللهم احفظ بلاد الحرمين الشريفين من كل سوء ومكروه اللهم طهر المسجد الأقصى من اليهود الغاصبين المحتلين اللهم عليك باليهود الظالمين قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبي إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله